tonight burned to the ground. A grim glimpse of the destruction from rampant wildfires in Nova Scotia. Reduced to charred ruins.
It's a pretty gut-wrenching feeling.
Infernos on an indiscriminate path.
This is dangerous and it is unpredictable.
Post-election reflections.
It was a turnaround operation, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy.
Danielle Smith's victory in Alberta as she takes aim at Ottawa. Plus, a knockout win in a cheese-chasing competition. The hill, the spill, and the thrill for a Canadian teenager.
How does it feel to be the winner?
It feels so good.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina.
Good evening, everyone. A hot, dry, and windy forecast is fanning the flames of anxiety in Nova Scotia, a province consumed by intensifying wildfires tonight. The largest is in the south, in Shelburne County. More than 10,000 hectares incinerated and still raging. Near Halifax, 200 homes have been damaged or destroyed. Molly DeVoe took this picture of her house as she was forced to flee with her 11-year-old son. This is what it looks like now. The photo sent by a volunteer firefighter to prepare her for when she does eventually return.
I think at that moment it's really going to be a, oh my gosh, this is nothing. We've lost it all.
CTV's Atlantic Bureau Chief Chris Anachkate leads us off with a massive effort to contain the flames.
It's a pretty gut-wrenching feeling, walking around the turn to see your place. It's no longer there.
Danny Osborne's home was one of 151 homes destroyed in this Halifax suburb. But it's not the first time he's been forced to flee a wildfire. He also escaped the devastating fires in Fort McMurray back in 2016.
We were actually able to come back to our home, which was still standing there. You're not so lucky. You're not going to get that lucky twice, maybe, I guess.
What happens next? Where do we go?
Kim and Wendy Cochran's home was spared, but they are worried their house could be next.
I think our little community should be briefed by somebody to tell us what's happening.
A big problem for us is that, like, our office is in our home and all of our business and that, so we're kind of just sitting here and not sure what to do.
The 788-hectare fire is described as out of control but stable.
As we do move into the evening hours, our relative humidity levels are going to climb. We are hopeful that this will reduce the fire activity as long as the winds don't get too far out of control.
However, a new fire this afternoon forced another round of evacuations. Agnes Park raced home to save her cat and leave the area.
I heard my neighbor calling me and said there's a fire nearby our house.
Meanwhile, hundreds remain evacuated in Shelburne County, where the province's largest fire has now grown to 19,000 hectares.
This is a massive fire down here for sure.
Touring that area today, Nova Scotia's premier said there has been 6 illegal burns reported since a burn ban was put in place.
No burning. For God's sake, stop burning. Stop flicking your cigarette butts out your car window. Just stop it. Our resources are stretched incredibly thin right now.
And while the latest evacuation order for Farmers Dairy Lane has since been rescinded, officials warn that the situation could rapidly change at any moment as these fires become more unpredictable. Omar.
Working around the clock. All right, Creason, thanks. Some relief in southwestern New Brunswick for about 300 people who fled an out-of-control wildfire sparked by a burning ATV. Today, they were allowed to go home.
It was literally under our deck.
Jeffrey Howson returned to find firefighters had saved his house after flames scorched the property. The St. Andrews area fire is still considered out of control, but crews have made progress containing it. They'll now work on dousing about 220 hotspots. And it's not only Atlantic Canada dealing with wildfires. Smoke from a pair of fires in northern Ontario is obscuring visibility for drivers on the Trans-Canada Highway near Lake Superior. Some roadways in the area have been closed and a nearby mine evacuated. On Vancouver Island, helicopters are helping dozens of firefighters battle the coastal region's largest wildfire of the season. which officials believe was human-caused. And in Alberta, where wildfires have forced 3,000 people out of their homes, there is another evacuation order issued tonight for the northern community of Fort Chipewyan. Alberta's political fight ended with a decisive victory for Danielle Smith last night, but she'll return to power with a smaller team. Her United Conservative Party won 49 seats, which is fewer than what she started with, while the NDP increased to 38, making this the slimmest majority in the province's history. CTV's Alberta Bureau Chief Bill Fortier on the fault lines.
In the quaint town of Innisfail, Alberta, the sky is blue, and so is the politics. Here, the vote wasn't even close. UCP candidate Devin Dreeshan won nearly three times as many votes as the NDP candidate.
I figured, like, let's give them a chance again and maybe turn things around. I'd certainly like more money back in my pocket.
It's very good for the economy. People need to get back to work.
The divide between rural and urban voters is stark. Outside the big cities, the province is painted blue, but the NDP's orange swept Edmonton seats and won more than half of Calgary's, where it previously held just three.
We know that we have to do some more work to earn the trust of Calgarians.
Premier Danielle Smith appeared on CTV's Power Play. The UCP lost seats, including some cabinet ministers. Still, Smith says her party actually gained momentum.
We were polling as a party at 30% in the polls to the NDP's 52% for most of the last 2 years.
Obviously, tonight I come before you with mixed emotions.
The New Democrats made big gains and will now form the largest official opposition in Alberta history with 38 MLAs.
So we have achieved tremendous growth and opportunity for our future.
Smith and the UCP campaigned on populist themes like lower taxes and safer streets. She'll now have to keep her party's moderate and further right factions united and deal with the political rift between city and country.
There's an opportunity here for Danielle Smith, but a whole lot of challenges. These could be rough waters for her to navigate.
Election night was a long one. The call wasn't made until 3 hours after polls closed. Officials blame the delay on a change in this year's election that let people cast advance ballots at any voting station, making the counting a bit more complicated. Bill Fortier, CTV News, Calgary.
And the election may have also complicated the relationship between Alberta and Ottawa. CTV's senior political correspondent Glenn McGregor has that story.
As she celebrated her victory over the NDP, Danielle Smith rallied Albertans to back her in another fight, this one against the federal government.
To stand shoulder to shoulder against soon-to-be-announced Ottawa policies that would significantly harm our provincial economy.
The United Conservative Party leader laid out the looming confrontation with Justin Trudeau's Liberals over climate change measures that could hurt her province's energy industry.
The de facto production cap on our oil and gas sector that, if implemented, will result in tens of thousands of jobs lost.
But this afternoon, the Prime Minister offered congratulations and promised cooperation.
We'll continue to work on growing the economy, on fighting climate change, and on supporting Albertans into the future.
Trudeau's Natural Resources Minister said Smith needs to get on board with the move towards net zero carbon emissions.
At the end of the day, it is in the interest, in my view, of all of the provinces and territories to be moving very expeditiously towards a clean grid.
Smith's message also echoed by the federal Conservative leader, who had endorsed her in the final days of the campaign. Trudeau and Smith have met since she became premier last fall, even if it looked a little awkward. And there was another pending standoff over the Trudeau government's plan to buy back certain types of firearms, a project that will require support from the RCMP's provincial policing arm in Alberta. The minister responsible for Ottawa's relations with the provinces said he'll be sitting down with Smith in coming weeks.
Let's start by focusing on the things we agree on, and let's see if we can work through the areas of disagreement.
Today, Smith said she wants to reset her relationship with the federal government and work together on climate change, but she also suggested she might respond to federal emissions caps by invoking Alberta's new Sovereignty Act, or possibly with a challenge to the Supreme Court. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Calgary.
There was a remarkable display of resilience and survival in Davenport, Iowa. 52-year-old Lisa Brooks appeared at the window of her apartment 24 hours after being trapped in the crumbling building. This was after the search for survivors had ended. But she hung on to hope, remaining in her house after the structure partially collapsed on Sunday.
I'm just so afraid that I was gonna die and don't see my kids, my grandkids.
Brooks and eight others were rescued, but five are still unaccounted for. And that's why a plan to demolish the building has been put on hold. Several buildings in Moscow were damaged today by the first large-scale drone attack since Russia invaded Ukraine. Eight drones struck the Russian capital, while Vladimir Putin launched the 17th aerial assault on Kyiv in just the last month. Here's CTV's chief international correspondent, Paul Workman.
For Russians who have tried to keep the war in Ukraine from intruding on their daily lives, the sound of explosions over Moscow was a noisy and unsettling awakening, stoked up by the Kremlin as a Ukrainian terrorist attack. They are trying to scare the Russian people by hitting residential targets, said President Vladimir Putin. That is clearly terrorism. Around 4 o'clock, there was a deafening boom, he says, strong like thunder. The damage was minimal, shattering windows in three buildings. The greater impact was invisible, scratching away at Russians' sense of security. It's scary, she says. You sit at home and this thing flies at your window. It's dangerous and scary. By comparison, Russia unleashed another deadly night of attacks on Ukraine, many times greater than a scattering of drones over Moscow. Jolting people out of their beds, touching off fires, and leaving a path of unnerving damage and debris. This man's apartment was on the 16th floor. Normally they shoot the drones down, he says, but this one kept getting closer. There was a big explosion, windows shattered, doors blown out. Even as Kyiv suffered through another barrage of Russian terror, the attack on Moscow offered a twinge of revenge. Ukraine was not directly involved, said a senior government official, but happy to watch it happen. On face value, what appears to be a daring Ukrainian raid deep inside Russian territory with spectacular results, Omar.
All right, Paul, thank you. Some tense moments in South Korea and Japan tonight as emergency alerts went out after North Korea attempted a satellite launch. Sirens blared in Seoul, warning people of a possible evacuation. Officials later said the alert was sent by mistake. North Korea says a rocket malfunctioned, sending the payload and rocket into the sea. Pyongyang had earlier said it planned to launch its first military reconnaissance satellite in the next 2 weeks. Another parliamentarian came forward today with revelations Canada's spy agency told him he was the target of Chinese interference with the goal of trying to discredit him while he was Conservative leader. Here's CTV's Judy Trin.
Speaker, it's a point of privilege.
The former Conservative leader said CSIS told him he was in China's crosshairs.
My parliamentary caucus and myself were the target of a sophisticated misinformation and voter suppression campaign
to get this country back on track.
Aaron O'Toole said Beijing targeted him before, during, and after the 2021 election.
Each of these threats were intended to discredit me, promote false narratives about my policies, and to severely obstruct my work.
O'Toole says money was funneled to organizations to amplify misinformation about him, and that China worked through its overseas United Front Work Department. The UFWD creates a web of dozens and dozens of Chinese hometown associations across Canada to influence the political views of its diaspora. This researcher says Beijing can use these organizations to launder money and push through propaganda.
It'll be maybe based around language or based around a newcomer kind of theme. You know, we want to help you, you're new to the country. And then they will slowly but surely influence those people to vote in one direction for one person.
Chinese interference has impacted every party at every level of government. MP Jenny Kwan, who is also targeted, says only a public inquiry, not a special rapporteur, can get answers.
The Liberals are hurting people and our democracy. Their appointed rapporteur, David Johnston, does not have the confidence of this House. He must go.
The prime minister has offered to provide the opposition leaders with access to the same classified documents David Johnston had before he wrote this report. But that's not enough. Tomorrow, the House will vote on an NDP motion to remove the special rapporteur and hold a public inquiry. Omar.
All right, Judy, thanks. The founder of the failed blood testing startup Theranos is spending her first night in a U.S. federal prison.
Ms. Holmes!
There goes Elizabeth Holmes.
Elizabeth Holmes surrendered today to serve a more than 11-year sentence. She conned investors of millions of dollars, lying to them about her company's technology. The 39-year-old former billionaire is expected to work in the prison kitchen, which will pay her a maximum of $1.15 an hour. Coming up after the break.
This is a change that we can come together on.
A new push to alter O Canada Plus.
I was out of it when I went past the finish line.
The tumble that turned into a cheesy triumph. You may remember back in February when Canadian singer Julie Black struck a chord by changing a single word in the national anthem. And now there's a push to make that change stick. Here's CTV's Adrian Gobriel.
First penned as a poem in 1908.
Oh, Canada.
Some are now calling for change.
Who am I as a Canadian?
On Wednesday, Mississauga City Council will vote on supporting a motion to alter the lyrics of O Canada. If passed, the country's seventh largest city will write a letter to Ottawa to request a permanent change.
So this is yet another just small change that would go a long way in the reconciliation process.
The discussion was ignited by Canadian soul singer Julie Black, who altered the century-old verse, "Our home and native land."
Our home on a native land.
Performing at an NBA All-Star game in front of an international audience.
A lot went through my mind before those 2 minutes that changed my life.
In large part because of the reaction Black received.
Yeah. It was positive for a good amount of time.
There were also many Canadians who spoke out on social media, upset about Black's decision.
I experienced hatred.
You filed police reports.
Based on what various, hate groups were saying to me, if we hear you utter that ever again, watch out.
She's since been honored at a special chiefs assembly in Ottawa and now has the attention of the federal government.
Conversations are happening on Parliament Hill. What's now going through your mind?
If we want to truly acknowledge Indigenous peoples and the land that we're on, and this is a change that we can come together on.
Brings a tear to your eye.
It does.
The vote is expected to pass here inside council chambers tomorrow, though we've learned that not every councillor will be voting in favour. Mayor Bonnie Crombie hopes that other Canadian cities will sign on in support, with National Indigenous History Month set to begin on June 1st. Adrian Gobriel, CTV News, Mississauga.
Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Bass apologized today for sharing a video supporting anti-LGBTQ2S+ boycotts of Target and Bud Light, which prompted public outrage.
I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine, and I am truly sorry for that. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody.
The team plans to give out 15,000 rainbow flag jerseys on June 9th during Pride Month. And former Blue Jays pitcher Liam Hendricks is inspiring people on and off the field. The Australian was back on the mound for the Chicago White Sox 5 months after he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Walking, I did like a little circle just on the mound, like rotating around so I could see every single part of the ballpark. I pointed up to my wife, who was in one of the suites behind home plate, and she deserves this as much as I do.
Hendricks had his final round of chemotherapy in April. Still ahead, the fear after a plane door was opened during a flight. A passenger with a front row seat speaks out about that shocking moment. The passenger who sat next to the man who suddenly opened an emergency exit door during a flight in South Korea is speaking out about his terrifying ordeal. Lee Yun-jun said he feared for his life. He told Yonhap News that once he realized the man had opened the door, he jumped into action and held him with his bare hands. The Asiana jet with 200 people landed safely, but 12 people had minor injuries. As a precaution, the airline isn't selling tickets for seats in emergency exit rows. The 33-year-old suspect told police that he felt suffocated and wanted to get off the plane quickly. He could face up to 10 years in prison. The family of Rosalynn Carter revealed today the former U.S. First Lady has dementia but is living happily at home.
I have been a caregiver, I think, all of my life. I feel like I have.
The 95-year-old is in Georgia with former President Jimmy Carter, who is receiving home hospice care. At 77 years, the Carters are the longest married first couple in U.S. history and clearly still in love. Beautiful. After the break.
I started falling, so I decided to roll.
Meet the Canadian who conquered a British cheese chase. We leave you tonight with the story of a Canadian champion who had a scary tumble on her way down to the top. Melanie Nagy on the newly crowned Big Cheese.
Near the English city of Gloucester, there is a steep slope called Cooper's Hill, which is famous for hosting a bizarre and extreme sport.
Honestly, really underestimated the hill.
I want to be first. I want to get that cheese.
That's right. The wild race is actually a cheese chase. Yes! For the annual tradition, competitors hurl themselves down the hill in hot pursuit of a large wheel of double Gloucester.
So originally, I was just going to watch the race.
BC's Delaney Irving was touring the area when she spontaneously decided to enter the rugged event.
I don't remember much of the start of the race, to be honest. Right away, I started falling, so I decided to roll.
During the women's race, Delaney rolled and ran while charging after the coveted cheese.
I made it a few steps, and that's when I took the big tumble.
Not just a tumble, but a frightening fall that caused her to briefly lose consciousness.
I was out of it when I went past the finish line.
After being assessed by a team of medics, the 19-year-old was taken to a tent to recover.
When I woke up in the medical tent, there was cheese on my lap.
Despite the fall, Delaney won her race.
This is the cheese.
Since yesterday, she's been sharing her achievement with family, including her mother, who had no idea she tackled the difficult task.
I think we should have a wine and cheese party, eat it, and celebrate.
Delaney, who has been medically cleared, also wants to celebrate.
I'm not a huge fan of cheese, but I will definitely eat this cheese.
Cheese may not be her favorite food, but after chasing it down a dangerous slope, she plans to savor every victorious bite. Melanie Nagy, CTV News, Vancouver.
And she has definitely earned it. Glad she's okay. That's a snapshot of this Tuesday for all of us at CTV National News. Thank you for watching. Good night and see you tomorrow.